Verse number one of Isaiah chapter 12 says, "In that day, O Lord, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." It seems to me that the very first subject of millennial hymns is going to be on the Lord's strictness. On the Lord's strictness. Now, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist preacher, and there are a few other preachers in here. And I imagine that every one of us have in our quiver of sermons quite a number of sermons that you might say are devoted to the strictness of God. That's what we fundamentalists tend to be characterized by. Our emphasis upon the strictness of God. That's not a popular message today. That is not something that makes churches grow. Churches that preach that God says what he means and means what he says usually are not bursting at the seams. But churches where you are invited to come as you are and leave as you came have to build bigger and bigger buildings. But here in Isaiah chapter 12, God is telling the prophet Isaiah what they're going to sing about in the millennial kingdom. Now, you understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and therefore it is profitable to us in some ways. Not all scripture are the very words of God. Some parts of scripture are the accurately recorded words of men, so that we might learn from their response to certain situations that God allowed to come into their life. We are told that everything that happened to the nation of Israel was written for our admonition. It was written that we might learn from their example. Whether positively or negatively, we should see what they did, and when God blessed them, we should do the same. And when God had to chasten them, we should not do the same. And Israel will sing in that day praises to God for his strictness. I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. I got kind of a blessing about hearing the testimony of Brother Woon, how he went to the school. And sometimes he got dealt with strictly. Sometimes he got taken into the office and the Board of Education was applied to the seat of learning. And we're warned in the Bible that those whom God loves, he chastens and scourges. Beloved, I believe you won't find many songs in our hymn book on that topic. You won't be able to open up the hymn book and look in the topical section in the index and find many songs that praise God for being strict with his people. But it will happen in the millennial kingdom. Israel will praise God for being strict with them. But that's not the only topic. Look down to verse 2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." If the first topic mentioned in this hymn, in this millennial hymn, is something that hasn't engendered too many songs in our hymn books, then this second subject makes up for it. It is God's salvation. God's salvation. And the prophet wrote, "Behold, God is my salvation." Think about what he's saying. God is my salvation. Not baptism is my salvation. Not my religion is my salvation. Not my chosen set of beliefs is my salvation. Not my parents' faith is my salvation. Many times Korean people have come up to me and I've asked them, do you know Jesus Christ? When did you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been saved? And they'll say, oh, don't worry, I was a Christian in my mother's womb. I've never been lost. They need to know that God is our salvation, not our parents' faith. Do you remember what the angel said to Joseph and Mary in Matthew chapter 1? And she shall have a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means salvation. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and he went through Jericho? And he looked up in Luke chapter 19 and he saw the chief publican, Zacchaeus, up in a sycamore tree. And Jesus walked up to that sycamore tree and he looked at Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to have lunch in your house today. And Zacchaeus, like a schoolboy, scampered down from that tree and he ran to his house and he made haste and he prepared a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, when he entered his house, said, this day is salvation. Come to this house. The very person of salvation walked in the door of Zacchaeus' house, because God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is my salvation. Beloved, have you received that salvation? Have you received Jesus Christ? Don't put your hope and faith in a church. Don't put your hope and faith in your works. Don't put your hope and faith in your parents. In the millennial kingdom, Israel will sing, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. What a wonderful thing to sing about. Can you remember when you received Jesus Christ as your salvation? I was a 7-year-old boy in Holland, Michigan, at church camp. And the camp director preached a simple message. And I believed that I was a sinner. And he said, if there's anybody here today that's not saved, you don't know for sure that you've got a home in heaven, would you raise your hand? And I raised my hand, and after the service, he took me aside, and he took me through the Bible, and he showed me that God promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful thing to know that God is our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Are you doing that? How much joy is evident in your life? You know, in Korea, life can be a grind. And surveys have repeatedly shown that Korea ranks among the worst countries in the world for life satisfaction. Koreans are not poor people. There's nobody starving in Korea. Koreans drive big cars. Koreans make big cars and they sell them to Americans to drive. Koreans make smartphones and sell them to Americans to sit there and look at while they're driving the big Korean car. I've seen quite a few of those. But the life satisfaction there is very low, because many people do not know Jesus Christ, and they're not drawing with joy from that well of salvation. I'll tell you what, if you lack joy in your life, just go out and lead somebody to Christ. You'll have joy. If you lack joy in your life, get down on your knees and pray until God fills you with enough of His power that you can go out and lead somebody to faith in Christ. And I'll tell you what, you'll begin to have joy. Instead of putting a CD in and listening to some performer concertize, take yourself an old-fashioned hymnal and start singing praises to God. I, as a pastor, also was song leader for many years in our church in Korea, because we sing in both English and Korean. And for many years, I was the only fellow in the church that could sing in both English and Korean. And I noticed something. I noticed certain people hold hymnals and they sing without their lips moving. And no sound comes out. And the people who do that are usually the most miserable people in the church. But the people that open wide and make a joyful noise unto the Lord usually have a surplus of joy in their life. Beloved, we're going to sing. We're going to sing in that millennial kingdom. It's not going to be just the Jews that sing in that millennial kingdom. We're going to be alongside them, and we'll be singing praises for His strictness. And we'll be singing praises for His salvation. But what I really want to speak to you about this morning is the final subject. Now, when I studied this, I noticed that there was one verse dealing with the strictness of God. And there were two verses dealing with the salvation of God. But in verses 4, 5, and 6, we find verses dealing with the sending of God. Notice what it says. In that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. In these verses, I see God wanting His people to sing and cry aloud and make known in all the earth the glory of the Lord. Do you remember when the Queen of Sheba heard about the glory of Solomon's kingdom? And she didn't believe it, so she traveled to the land of Israel. And when she got there, she said, the half was not told me. I'm telling you, when God blesses a people, the half cannot be told. When God pours out His blessing upon a people, the whole world will come to know about it. Israel never had a great commission in the same sense that we New Testament church age believers have. But God did expect them to be a city set on a hill. God expected them to live in the light that had been revealed to them. And in doing so, the whole world would come to know the God of Israel. But only at the very briefest of times in Israel's history did that come about. Times like in the days of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah heard about the state of those who had the remnant that had returned from the Babylonian captivity, his heart broke and he fell on his face and he spent certain days fasting and praying before God. And then he was given permission to go and help rebuild walls around the city of Jerusalem. And in the face of much opposition and persecution, in 52 days, those Jews built a wall all the way around the city of Jerusalem, more than 3 kilometers of wall. And so great was the work that they'd done that the very people who opposed them and tried to stop the work concluded it was not them, it was their God that did it. Israel, at various times, in small ways, became what God wanted them to be continuously. But we have been given that commission to go and to preach His gospel to every creature. We have been told, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Beloved, now it is our opportunity to serve the Lord God. I know that I have preached from Luke chapter 16 in this church possibly more than once, but it's a passage of Scripture that I think defines what missions is all about. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse number 1, he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say to you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Mammon is money, young people. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. If we learn anything from this parable, we learn first of all about stewardship. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward simply has authority to use the resources and goods of somebody else. And everyone in here is a steward. Everything that we possess belongs to God. But He's given us authority over those things. I've been given authority over that red Mitsubishi Outlander with dents all over it because it was in a hailstorm in Colorado. I've been given authority over the things in my bank account. I've been given authority over all that which God has made me steward of. But as a steward, I have to use my master's resources in the way that he wants them to be used. If I use my stewardship to buy Cubs tickets, if I use my stewardship to buy shotguns for hunting, if I use my stewardship and spend it all on things that I want, then I'm also an unjust steward. How do we know what God wants it spent on? He told us right here, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Use the unrighteous money of this world. If you take the money that's in your pocket and you could trace it back, you wouldn't even want to know some of the things that it was spent on. You wouldn't want to know what some of that money was used to do before it came into your possession. But God wants us to take His resources and use them to make to ourselves eternal friends. May I tell you, members of Temple Baptist Church, that you have hundreds, yea, thousands of eternal friends that you've not yet met. You have eternal friends like Sister Chang Kum Wah. We went and visited her while she was in the hospital with bone cancer in her spine. She lived a hard life. And the scars of her hard life were all over her. Bad relationships, addictions, no friends. But we opened up a Bible and we showed Chang Kum Wah that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty of her sins. And after 2.5 hours, with much tears, she bowed her head and received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. That was on a Thursday. On Sunday, even though she was very weak from her cancer, she got on a bus 2.5 hours so that she could come to Seoul. She lived on an island in the West Sea so that she could be baptized and be added to the membership of Seoul First Baptist Church. She told me, she said, Pastor, God's made you a missionary, and I can't be a missionary. But she said, as long as God gives me breath, I'm going to be a witness for Him to my family and to my neighbors. And she was for 9 months, and then she died. She is waiting in heaven to receive you into the everlasting habitations. Because, beloved, you gave to send a missionary to Korea who could tell her how to be saved. Most of the people in her village worshiped Buddha. They bowed to a god that has eyes but cannot see, that has ears, but has never heard one of their prayers, that has hands, but is completely impotent to meet their needs. I think that when we get to the millennial kingdom, that we will sing some tremendous, majestic, powerful hymns, praising God for the Great Commission, for the commandment to send gospel messengers, not just to our Jerusalem, the town that we live in, not just to our Judea, the state that we live in, not just to Samaria, those Yankees up north, but to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, beloved, remember that we'll also sing praises to God for His strictness. What part do you have in the accomplishment and fulfillment of the Great Commission in this day? Have you made yourself available? Have you prayed and said, God, do you want me to go? And God doesn't want everybody to go. But if God hasn't called you to go, have you got down on your knees and spent some serious time in prayer before you filled this out? And said, God, I want to be part of the solution. God, I want you to work through me and not in spite of me. I love this church. And I hope that more independent Baptist churches in America become like Temple Baptist Church. But I'll bet not everyone here is part of the solution. I would suspect that not everyone here has spent earnest and legitimate time in prayer, asking God to show them how much of His resources they should be using to make more eternal friends that can receive you into the everlasting habitations of heaven.